Welcome to Sports 1140
AHD. Good morning.
I don't understand what the problem is here.
Put the top down.
Good morning.
Fair doesn't matter. It's stupid.
Welcome to the drive.
New morning, team.
Now shut up and
attacking one of the mill morning show
with Carmichael Dave.
But I've never played professional sports, so.
You're kidding.
You know what? Funny, I have.
Katie Christensen.
He needs to shut his mouth.
Agreed. And Nate Goodyear.
I'm not a journalist. I'm a commentator.
Here we go.
I was just entertaining the people on the morning drive.
We on a mission.
Hold on tight. With Dave. With Katie and Nate. Katie and Nate.
I am not driving no minivan.
Good morning.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios.
Broadcasting live.
Why is this difficult?
Coors Light. With great beer comes great responsibility.
Get ready for the show of a lifetime.
Now. The Drive with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
6:02. Dave, Katie, and Nate. It's The Drive. 339-1140. 1-800-920-1140.
Good morning.
Hey.
Texas at 44-1140. Did you have a good three-day weekend?
Hey, you know what? I'm really curious. Nate and I were talking about this a little bit earlier when you weren't in the studio. How was the pig roast?
Tell us about your pig, Dave.
Roasting them pigs.
Get a pig in the ground.
Oh, my God.
Get a pig going.
I feel like I have to tweet this out. I took a screenshot. Dave and I talked once over the weekend, and he...
Oh, did you take a screenshot?
He FaceTimed me from... FaceTime me from, what was it? You were on that...
I was on a three-wheeler ATV thingy.
Was it a three-wheeler or a four-wheeler?
That was a one, two, three. You know what? I think actually technically it's a five-wheeler. I think there's double wheels in the back and one in the front. But yeah, it was, you know, one of those ATVs.
Oh, you got a dually three-wheeler.
Big boy.
Basically.
Wheels
he had on
his ATV.
He had on the straw cowboy hat.
That's right.
And on Larry the Cable Guy sleeveless...
Poser.
Flannel shirt.
Let me tell you something, Nate. Such a poser. Here's how big of a poser I am. I have the sleeveless Larry the Cable Guy shirt that I only wear when I go down to the farm. And when we went down there, we had to get burlap sacks and some baling wire for the pig. So we went to, no joke, Tractor Supply in Ripon. And while I was there, I went,
have everything at the Tractor
Supply. No, they really do. It's a great place. And I walk in, and of course, typical guy trying to, you know, from the city, from the suburbs, trying to pose as a Farmer Joe. I got in there, and I swear, I probably sound like this, like, oh my God, look at the clothes they have.
You guys have any plows?
So, I bought another shirt that was just like the one I had, but a different color. My brother bought the same one so we could be twinsies the next day just to piss everybody off. Oh, it's a fine fun life that's down there. You're on an orchard. Oh, I want some cherries. Well, there's the cherry orchard over there. Let's go pick a bushel of them.
Because I heard that when it came to the pig in the ground, everything was good until this little piggy made eye contact with Dave and tugged at his heartstrings a little
Where
bit.
Where did you hear this? We've not talked all weekend, and I know I didn't tweet that. Well, yeah. Oh, here we go.
I was just guessing.
I was trying to look. There. I'll turn down the sound. Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that. How about that?
And a
babe.
Can you see that? What?
Jay can't see it. That's me just hicking out as much as possible.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I just.
Yeah, I got the straw hat on.
I just tweeted out the picture. Yeah.
I'm sure
pleasure.
No one will have fun with that.
Yeah. So I can't wait until they start putting like popcorn in your hand or a brownie in your mouth
that. Seriously.
I hope they stay
away from like the, you know how you put the apple in the pig's mouth.
Oh God.
Yeah.
You remember this year they were in Atlanta and DeMarcus tweeted out, hey, I've got two tickets to the game. Send me a picture of you at the arena. And you can get the pictures. Like, if you can get the tickets. You're in Atlanta. It's not like I'm thinking, boom, perfect picture of Dave. The classic from the old, I think it was the night show when you had, like, the rice patty hat on.
Yeah,
and you were wearing the Marty McFly pullover.
That was my publicity photo for a while.
Yeah.
So I was like, I just Photoshopped that into Phillips Arena.
I'll tweet this Didn't out. Win. This is the picture I'm going to get killed for. So there's my brother and I in the same shirt, right? Now, it looks like, and I'll tweet
those
this
shorts?
Out. Well,
shorts?
100% jeans yes. shorts, like
nice.
Blue jeans
Real
shorts.
Legit.
Like, you'll never see me wearing those anywhere but down there. And it looks like we're holding hands.
It does.
Now, if you look really close, and again, I'll tweet this so everyone can play along. I'm holding a cornhole bag in my hand, but the way everything's positioned, it looks like two dudes in matching shirts are holding hands.
It looks like all Brokeback Mountain and stuff.
So, and again, nothing wrong with that. So, speaking of Brokeback Mountain, so this pig, right,
speaking
was just...
Speaking of Brokeback Mountain.
let me just, because we have a ton of stuff to get to, but let me just put it out there. So, we get a pig. The pig was from an adjacent farm that a father-in-law got, and we got the pig, and of course, everyone's like, you know, wanting to take it out of the bag. And, oh, look at the pig. I can wave its hooves and stuff.
Oh, God.
Then we wrapped it. We stuffed it with onion and pineapple and all kinds of stuff. Then we sewed it up with metal wire, up the cavity, put an apple, of course, in the mouth, which, by the way, I did not know this. The reason why you always see pigs being roasted with apples in their mouths is to keep the airway clear.
Yeah.
So that I just figured it was for decoration. Honestly, that's how stupid I am.
Or like moisture, or who knows?
I don't know.
Oh.
Okay. So we wrapped it all up. We soaked the burlap in pineapple juice. We wrapped it up in the burlap. Then we foiled it up. Then we buried it in the ground. And great thing about being on a farm is instead of us having to dig the hole, they had a tractor with a backhoe that just does. So we dig it out, that everyone's so excited. Like, this is more, you could go buy pork.
Right.
This is more for the spectacle.
Yeah, this is for the process.
Right. We dig it out. We videoed it. I'm making a little video of the whole thing. And we put it on the table, and we unwrap it. And this pig is just, it's cooked in all its glory. And I don't know, something about, this is why I know I'm definitely a suburbs guy. Something about when the pig got unburlapped and it's just sitting there and it's cooked, and my brother grabbed a piece of the meat off a haunch and was like, hey, here. And he gave me a piece, and then he had a piece. And I went to go put the piece in my mouth, and I noticed that there were some hairs on the piece.
Ah! Wow.
And immediately it like all hit me. I like looked down at the pig's face, and I looked at the pork, and then I looked down at the pig's face, and I looked at the pork. And everyone's just like diving in and taking pieces of this pig. And I was just like, no,
I'm gonna go to McDonald's.
You know what? No, I put that piece of pork in my mouth and I chewed it just because we were all
video.
I had to.
You were, he was pressure.
That was the last piece of pork I had all
weekend.
You're
kidding.
I couldn't. I just.
Oh,
it didn't taste right to me. I know it tasted like pork, but in my brain, it tasted different. It
tasted like live pork.
Yes, like pork that had been porking 3 days ago in the frolicking in the mud. And let me be clear.
Because it had.
Yeah. And I'm not I'm not one of those put
harsh
your guns away
here.
And don't hunt and animals and all. I'm not that guy. I love meat.
It's
love
America,
meat.
Dave.
It is. My helmet.
You like meat that you get packaged
at the store. Because that meat has always been dead. That meat was never alive. It came from the meat tree.
Do you think
which is Lady Gaga's dress, right?
So they called her dorm room at UCSB the meat tree. Could you
too far, Nathan.
I know
that
too
was
far
rude.
Enough.
That was rude.
Could you handle though, like if you were at a livestock auction to buy the pig there, you'd never have to see, you know, like you buy it and then you go get it butchered. So then when you get it, it's packaged.
Yeah.
But you do have to see your pig and say that's
and
the one I
go
want.
Go and meet it.
I think I might have been able to handle that if I'd done that first.
Okay.
You see what I did there? You go and meet it.
You go and meet it. That's it. And then it gets. Then you meet it.
What happened over the weekend is the same thing that happened when I was about like 12 or 13. And my dad had a buddy who had a farm. And we used to go over there. And they had a cow named Marvin. And then, I don't know, a year later, he's having a barbecue. And I used to feed Marvin, right? Little weeds or whatever the hell you feed.
Was it your cousin, hey. Marvin Berry?
But
Marvin.
That is a fine Midnight Run. No, that's a fine Back to the Future reference, because mm-hmm. Marvin was from Midnight Run too. So you did that ADD thing to me.
Sorry.
So
you used to feed the cow Marvin.
You used to feed the cow Marvin. And then I'm eating a hamburger, little 12, 13-year-old me, and all of a sudden Woody, which is my dad's buddy's real name, goes, hey, how's Marvin taste?
Oh.
I couldn't. That was it. I couldn't do it.
Marvin.
So I think I found out over the weekend that I can go and buy the straw hat at Tractor Supply for $16 on sale. I can get the 2-for-1 deal on the Larry the Cable Guy shirts. I can ride the ATVs. I can pick the cherries. I can frolic in the dirt with everyone and all the brand new kids that show up every season down there like crops. Right. There's always a new baby. I don't know. I don't know where these babies come from, but they're always there.
I'm telling you, when you live on a farm, you have to continue to procreate for farm hands.
Well,
that's
like,
how you get
farm.
Someone's got to do the chores.
I feel like everyone's bored.
That is exactly why there's 5 of us in my family.
That's
5 kids.
Right.
It is a workforce. That's what you do.
And they are the nicest, sweetest, kindest. I see what types of people these people. Yeah. I mean, it's pure and awesome, and I want to be them. But then when it comes down to eating the pig,
pull the trigger.
Next time, I'm just going to go. I said, let's just take the money and go out and buy. Like, we took the back leg off. And
we'll test the livestock auction thing for you. We'll find something. We'll go buy a pig. It'll be great.
Just go to Safeway. It's all there, you know, without the messy having to look at the head thing or somebody peeling it. And then we de-skinned the whole thing. Yeah. We took all the skin, put it in a metal tray.
Did you feed it to the dogs?
No. Mm. Then at about 3 hours later, because we got it out at noon, somewhere around 4 o'clock, my brother and I are in the kitchen with a pot of boiling oil trying to make chicharrones. cutting up the skin in squares. Mm. And then at one point I put the ear in.
Oh.
And because, that's
fried
a dog treat, right? Mm-hmm. That's not a human thing. That's a dog treat.
Why not?
Lots of people do it.
Eat the pig ear?
Seriously.
They wanted to eat the brain?
Yeah.
Nope.
Not doing any of that. Huh?
Nope. At one point when we were
So you're traumatized from your weekend.
It was fine. I just, the idea of, hey, let's get a pig over the weekend to we got a pig. It was not what I expected. I felt like the episode of Silver Spoons when Ricky went and hunted with his grandpa and he shot the deer, but the deer didn't quite die. And then his grandpa made Ricky shoot the deer to put it out of his misery. And Ricky just started crying and threw the gun down and ran into the forest. Like, that's kind of where I was with the pig. So anyways, that was that. Your guys' weekend, Katie, you were, what the hell did you do?
I was down in, I went down to L.A. I was Venice Beach and Santa Monica.
I saw you posted
a
picture.
She's a street performer.
Yeah, you posted a picture of a street performer balancing you on his knees.
It was really, really weird. So shocking, right? In a group of about 300, 400 people that have, you know, it's like a flash mob where they all just surround these people like instantaneously to watch whatever shenanigans they're about to do in this quote unquote performance, right?
Right.
This dude comes and picks me out of the crowd. I'm like, of course you did.
Yeah, he knew. Let's see.
Of course
7
you
foot
did.
Tall hottie.
And
I'm gonna grab.
Go get her. I turned and looked at my boyfriend and I was like, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to go.
Not
don't make
late.
Me go. He's like, go, pushes me out there. And he's the one taking the pictures. And I'm like, oh my God, this
of
is
course.
Just ridiculous.
Did you tweet that? You tweeted that, didn't you?
Yeah, I tweeted the picture, which was pretty amazing. I mean, he gets a bridge position, right? And then he takes one of his hands. He's like, hold my hand.
So bridge position, your feet are on the ground.
Your hands are behind your shoulders.
And then junk is pointed in the sky.
He reaches out for my hand. He goes, take my hand and then climb up on my knees, like stand on each one of my knees. And
sure.
I'm like, no. Oh, my God, no. Do you know how much I weigh? Do you know, like, the balancing of a 6'3" girl?
Yeah, how much do
you weigh? About 170 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't really want you to answer.
No, I didn't
I have
either.
No problem.
A tough spot, but
is that could, it?
Yeah.
And I said, wow. Okay, wow, that
no,
came
I mean,
out wrong.
No, I'm with you.
You're
like,
so,
okay.
Here's the thing. You and I, now, granted, I'm a big guy. You and I are the same height.
You're like a couple inches taller than me.
I thought we were the exact same height.
No, you're taller than me.
Oh, we're going
sure.
back to back
okay.
at the break.
Yeah, okay. But no, yeah, I will. Yeah, and I'm
wow.
100. I'm 170.
Sure.
So
boy,
I get
that's
up there.
That's athletic.
That's
get
very
up there
yikes, man.
And
built for speed.
Scale here.
Then he, then once I'm balanced, I'm standing on his knees,
right?
Then he lets go of my hands, and he has his hands straight out touching his knees. So basically, he's just balancing me.
That's a strong
it was,
dude.
Oh, it was freaky. I'm like, you know what? If I fall so much further than everybody else. Please don't kill me. Please don't kill me on Venice Beach. I immediately got out of there, and it was just like, okay, I'm leaving now.
Speaking of Hicks, Nate, we can't forget Nate. Nate had it. Nate's... You two are real Hicks.
Yeah, we really
are. I'm a poser.
Are.
You guys are actual born and raised
right.
Hicks. So, we got to get into Nate's weekend, too. And then, hey, by
Stuck
the way, Hey, by the way,
there was a Western Conference Finals game last night.
We have all kinds of tidbits and knickknacks and all that for you, too. We got a big show planned for you today as well. In addition to us talking about that, Josh Martin from Bleacher Report is going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour to talk that and also the upcoming finals. Tons of stuff to get to you after a three-day big boy weekend. We'll be right back. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. Nah. Or ma.
Speaking of meat trees.
Hey.
How about
Christensen,
that?
Everybody. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to go somewhere with meat trees. I get you. We're talking about Lady Gaga.
Yeah, Lady Gaga.
Like meat
suit. Meat suit.
I thought you were going to go off on a tangent about meat trees.
No.
It's a Drive, Sports 1140 KHTK. And speaking of Sports 1140, join them. I would say us. I won't be there. UFC 199 this Saturday. At the draft inside Arena Softball, 8288 Industrial Avenue in Roseville. Great food and drink specials. Also free batting cages and field play, all for a $10 cover. For more info, visit arenasoftball.com.
You love that place.
I love that. I've been going there since the day it opened. It's awesome, seriously. And they redid the bar and everything, and now there's like 3,000 TVs in there. You can sit there and watch the sports, and then you've got Arena Softball games going nonstop to the left. By the way, just a future note, if Uriah Faber does beat Dominic Cruz this Saturday down in L.A., I will probably not be here Monday. Oh. I will have an IV hooked up to my arm. I'm not a big drinker, but I will be somewhere on the streets of Los Angeles, passed out on a curb.
Oh, you're going down to that?
Yeah, I'll be there this Saturday.
Okay.
Going down. It's probably his last chance.
Yeah.
And I don't want to speak for him, but I would imagine he's gotten quite a few title shots at mid-30s. I'm pretty sure this might be his last real deal at the title. And this is the trilogy, the end, between him and Cruz. They're 1-1 right now. If he does not win, I don't know that he'll legitimately get another shot. I don't want to count him out, so it's a big deal. I like Dominic Cruz as a person. I hate him as a fighter, personality guy. He's actually a good guy, but he's such a little ding dong when he builds up. I'm highly homerific of Faber. So
no.
Yes, I'll be passed out on a curb somewhere in Inglewood.
You know what? You should go to Venice Beach. You'll fit right in.
Oh my God! How great would that be if I texted out a picture, tweet out a picture of me balancing on some
the
dude? Nate, don't think you're getting away with it.
Oh crap!
How is the Goodyear Memorial Day weekend extravaganza?
You know, actually, I didn't get to spend it with a bunch of my family. I was with the in-laws, quote unquote, because my brother-in-law got married. And that was rad. So I got to, I got to go spend the time in Chico. Great wedding, great deal. Got to listen to. I know the guy's not listening, but the absolute worst speech by the father of the bride ever.
Really?
First off, biggest jerk on the planet here. Talks on a microphone professionally, taking shots at the people that are up there trying to give a speech at their daughter's wedding, okay? So let's just get that out of the way to start with. That's
me that I'm talking about.
I'm not going to judge you for this.
Because
there are some bad wedding speeches.
Right. And it wasn't like that he was stumbling over words, but some of the things dropped in there, he mentioned that... when the boy asked him for his daughter's hand in marriage, he said yes, under one condition, that it must be a church wedding. This was not a church wedding. It was outdoors. And he said, so I told him, yes, under the condition that it's a church wedding. Now I've watched two of my three daughters get married, and I'm still waiting for my church wedding. And when I think back on that moment, I stand by my answer.
No.
So that is uncomfortable.
No. That was just a snippet.
So most people, by the way, would be like, it'd be like silence over the room. And I guarantee you, Nate was in the corner like.
I was shaking. I'm the worst at these things because I can keep my laughter silent, but I can't keep myself from just quaking uncontrollably. I was telling
him, oh my God, that guy's having a seizure. Get the EMT.
And Katie's like, well, was he telling jokes? I'm like, I don't know. They didn't land with anyone but me. So that was great. We had an awesome, it really was a great wedding, an awesome time. Got to get some golf in, got to do some four wheeling in my Hoblet Dodge truck. That was great. Yeah. So anyway, it was a real good time. I'm still recovering.
You were hanging out. So that side of the family, that's the civilized. We're talking about civilized people here.
Yes.
But everyone.
Much more so. I warned them all weekend because they're going to have to deal with our wedding in September. I was like, you guys got it easy on this one. Yeah, just wait for it.
I know. Nathan's getting married.
Well, Nate's all grown
breaking
up.
News.
Look at him.
He's set it on air now.
I know. You know I guess it's official now. But I had to tell him.
I guess
had to
it's official.
It's
I'm
on
pretty
the air.
Sure.
It's
yeah,
really
it's,
happening.
It's really happening.
Were you, this is probably not safe, and you should never, ever do this in the middle of the show, but were you at all worried that it sounded like this?
Well, my brother, Harold, asked me to be the best man at his wedding. Of course, man.
That dumb button ready.
Because you've always been there for me. Like when I was in rehab. And like the time I couldn't find my car. Because Harold, you know, he's always been the dependable one. And I've always been the screwed up one. Right, Dad? Why can't you be more like your brother? Harold would never beat up his landlord.
He's drunk as shit. Oh, there we go. There it was. How are you? Ah, boy. I got it.
I'm out. I can't even talk right now.
Now, here's the thing. When you're dealing with wedding speeches, you have to know in advance. You have to know that everyone in there is watching you. Mm-hmm. You have to know that there's a time limit. You have to know that people are going to record it. People are going to play it back for eternity. And maybe, just maybe, have it. Now, did he have something written in front of him?
He had some notes together. Luckily, no one videoed it for his.
Nobody videoed it?
I don't know that anyone, at least no one within our immediate circle, because if they had, we would have watched it a million times by the next
morning. They did not have a hired
would assume, actually, that there's probably video of it somewhere. My immediate circle and the group that spent all day the next day absolutely savaging the performance.
Right.
Nobody had film of that.
Which is worse, drunken yet sort of funny wedding speech or patriarch / older brother, whomever it is, breaking down and crying during the speech? Mm. Because they're both so uncomfortable and you want to help the person, but you can't. Every year, like at Thanksgiving, we take straws to see how long it'll take my dad to start crying. My dad's not a crier.
Yeah,
he just loves you guys,
right?
He
does the, like, Thanksgiving. Yeah, because I've been there for
a
while.
You were there last year.
A couple years ago.
Yeah. And my
dad's so proud of his family.
My dad is very stoic, deeper voice than me, attorney. Never saw him cry growing up, but the older he gets and maybe the more couple glasses of wine he gets, it's always a thing where, yeah, he sees the grandkids and everybody, and he always breaks down almost every
it's
year.
Like you get reflective in those moments. Yeah.
Yes, you see.
And he's probably crying because he's like, oh my God, I'm responsible for all of this. Look what I did to society.
You know, I always wondered why he always started crying when he got to me. That is me.
And Dave.
What can I say about Dave? Although he calls me David, so let's be clear. God, if my dad ever called me Dave, I think I'd explode.
Really?
Like my family never, there's never a Dave. My mother is very fond of saying at family gatherings, if I wanted a Dave, I would have named you Dave. All right, we'll take a break. Hey, what do you say we get into sports yesterday?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. There's a lot of stuff that we have to get into, a lot of stats to get into. Here's what we'll cover, just so you know. We'll take your calls at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We've got the game itself. We have the inside the game itself and all that. But then we also have the historical premise of the game and where it stands. And I think that's always fun to do the
it
day
is.
After.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Because you have no idea where it stands. We have no idea where we're going to consider this Western Conference Finals 10 years
before
from now.
We go to break, show of hands.
Yes.
How many people in this room thought that the Thunder actually, after watching that whole series, thought for sure there's no way the Thunder don't win this?
You, like when they were up 3-1, for example?
Yes.
Mean? Oh, I mean, you.
I felt that until it was 3-2.
Really?
In
retrospect?
I
don't know. Because my thing is, even though the Warriors were able to force a game 7, I was like, man, they're just not playing well. They're not playing like themselves. I'm like, OKC might have this. And then OKC thundered themselves.
They were up 3-1. And I can say this now in retrospect. I predicted the Thunder in 7. I was wrong. You guys are right. I was wrong.
I said Golden State in 7. I'm the only one that got it right this go around.
Well,
Forget Detroit and Cleveland. That's off now.
So now you even.
I did the one that really matters.
Kevin Durant may be going home a loser today, but he joins a club that includes only Michael Jordan and LeBron James to do this. We'll tell you that and a lot more cool stats next. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. To Drive, welcome in. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. As we get into the events over the weekend. All right, kids. So there was a... There was a game yesterday, and my goodness, I found that this series, although there were blowouts in it, was, if the finals are as good as this Oklahoma City Golden State Warriors series was, then these playoffs are a success.
I disagree. Oh, I disagree with you to a certain extent, because this was an exciting series because it went seven games. That's the only reason. The games itself, like blowouts, are not exciting, especially once you're this deep into the playoffs. You want every game to come down to like a game-winning shot or like a couple possessions where you feel like something's on the line. That's not what it was.
Yeah, I'm with Katie on this one, because I saw that all over last night. And I mean, I don't. There were moments. I kind of get it, but. I hope the finals are better than this series. Seven games would be great, but I never really felt like, you know, especially last night, once the Warriors start getting to snowball, you know, the Thunder are up, what, they were up by 13 at one point, right?
Yep.
But once the Warriors start to snowball, they've done this all year long, the third quarter, whatever, and they'll erase the deficit, and then before you know it, they're up by double digits. It completely zaps all of the drama out of everything, because it's not like a normal NBA game where you know the Thunder are going to come back and what. They made a good effort last night, but all of the individual games kind of fizzled through the finish.
Oklahoma City scored 88 points in the seventh game of the Western Conference Finals. This is a team that scored almost 110 points a game during the regular season. They were second only to the Warriors. And you come out and you score 88 points and you shoot 38% from the floor.
And the Warriors at 42. In the first half, which was a playoff low, I believe, for them.
And haven't like all of their lows in a half this in the first half this season come against Oklahoma City, or like three of their?
I'm pretty sure, wasn't their low for the first half against the Kings? I want to say the Kings in Oakland held Curry scoreless and held the Warriors to a season low in first half points. There's a reason that stat's in my head, and I don't think it's just because I'm a blind homer.
But like, we're talking playoffs.
No, well, he said during the season, though. He said season.
Did you know that we're talking about the playoffs?
He said during the season. The turning point of the game, God. I think without, well, I don't know, maybe with a doubt, but I think without a doubt, you guys argue with me, was Russell Westbrook coming down the floor. As you mentioned, Oklahoma City up 13. He shoots a moronic three-pointer that he had no business shooting, bricked it, and that gave Klay Thompson a chance, who at the time I think was 0 of 7,
Draymond
to do something.
The dribble, picks it up, looks for a cutter, slings the ball to Thompson, open, fires, and hits! It's a three for Klay!
And that was his first three of the game. He went on 2 seconds later.
Curry double team, pass inside, goes to the corner to Klay, pump fake, flyby, three ball off the dribble, another swish for Klay! It just takes one.
And then, as Kings fans know, if Klay Thompson gets hot, there's really nobody else in the NBA, and maybe nobody else we've seen in a long, long time that can get as scorching hot as Klay Thompson.
Rebound Iguodala. Warriors will run. Iguodala to Thompson. Catches and fires. Three ball left sideline for Klay.
That was the turning, to me, that and the second quarter. The Thunder up 13. That was the second quarter. Thunder up 13. Klay Thompson had done absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. Russell takes the ill-advised shot. Thompson comes down, just takes one, as Tim Roy said, to wake him up. He gets on fire. Thunder came back a little bit. But that was when the Warriors, I think, if they were making a documentary on the game, that was when they woke up, when Klay Thompson started hitting.
Yeah.
And it was all downhill.
That's how good they are, right? Is that it takes, they can erase a 13-point deficit because of one missed shot. You look back at that, and it's like, if you give Klay Thompson, he could be 0 for 7.
Yeah.
But let the guy get in rhythm, maybe with numbers in transition, all it takes is one. and boom, it's gone. I mean, maybe if Russell Westbrook hits that shot, maybe that never happens, not just because the deficit is more, but because the Warriors are taking the ball out of the basket and not getting an opportunity to find Klay Thompson wide open.
Well, and I think this is a prime example.
One opportunity!
Yes,
I think it's a prime example of just what's wrong with Oklahoma City. They played so well against the Spurs. They played so well in this series. And then when the series is on the line and they finally have an opportunity to go to the finals, they revert back to being the same team that they've been during the regular season, which, yeah, you can win games during the regular season that way. But you cannot win games with Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant just going one-on-one the whole time.
Right.
And it's crazy to me. So we've talked a lot about fourth quarter, especially, for the Thunder. Now, the third quarter is when they scored 12 points, and that's basically when things really started to, the momentum shifted and went the opposite direction. But I saw this stat, which I think is crazy, before the game. Oklahoma City this season, their scoring margin per quarter, first quarter, plus 232, second quarter, plus 107, third quarter, plus 208, fourth quarter, minus two.
Oh.
Minus
Ho.
Two. On the that's, we're talking about the whole season. And this begs the question. I think, in my opinion, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook might be two of the top five players, if not the top five, definitely two of the top 10 players.
I think two of the top five, sure.
In the NBA.
Sure.
I don't know that I have this sneaky feeling, because we know who they are now. They've been in the league a while. They've had plenty of different opportunities. They've been together. They've had James Harden. They've had different teams, different coaches, all ending up in the same thing. I don't know that they're ever going to win anything.
Let's get into this, really, because I think this is a very interesting subplot. Now that the Thunder have lost, Kevin Durant's a free agent, and we do the postmortem. By the way, Kevin Durant, speaking of him, he has scored at least 25 points in all seven games of that series. That joins only Michael Jordan and LeBron James as people to do that in all seven games of a Western Conference final. There's all kinds of streaks that were broken.
Or a conference final.
Yeah, excuse me, or a conference final. Lowest points scored April 10th against the Spurs, 35 points for the Warriors in the first half. Damn it, I got to look at that Kings score then. Maybe it was up until, what was it? What would you say the date on that was, Jay?
That was the second before the last game. It was April 10th.
Second before the last game. Okay. Yeah. I think the Kings had it for most of the year. Mm-hmm. But let's get into the Westbrook-Durant. What happened? Who do we point the finger at, et cetera, et cetera? It's a Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. Somebody has pointed out to me, because I'm a sucker and I'll bite for this stuff. Montel Williams was asked yesterday, he was tweeting out about his Seattle Sonics. He said, the mayor of Seattle enabled the theft of the Sonics. Somebody said, wait, didn't you guys try to steal the Kings? And Montel said, that's a failed franchise with horrid owners that would be lucky to move to Seattle. Oh, wait, I feel weird.
Blame Montel for still living in 1998?
We've had Montel.
I was going to say, didn't he perform?
He's been
at
here.
Sleep Train?
He's been here in these studios before when he opened up his pot franchise.
Pot.
He's got a weed. He's got a weed store.
The
in
pots.
Town.
When he opened up the pot store.
Super nice guy. Super nice guy.
Yeah. Well, this kind of comes down to the thing where.
You know,
people,
I think we were both thinking of Montel Jordan.
Oh, you were thinking, this is how we do it?
Oh, yeah, right.
This is
right,
how we do it.
Because Montel Jordan.
The talk show host, Montel Williams, bald.
Thanks.
All right.
Well, Montel Jordan.
I care, you know what, in this hand is how much I care about Montel Jordan, and this
you.
Is the other hand, how much I care about Montel Williams.
I was wondering where you were going there. Did Montel, I was like, did Montel Williams perform it at Sleep Train? What would he do?
That'd be pretty great.
Like a live talk show or something?
They just let you know where to sell your gold.
Yeah. Yes. See? There you go. Speaking of failed things. Montel Williams, everybody. All right. Well, thanks,
yeah,
Montel.
Well, you know what?
That
it
Montel
doesn't
Jordan.
Matter.
No, it doesn't. And by the way,
I give about two craps.
There's also a controversy we were talking about before the show, too, involving a guy who works for KJR up in Seattle, home of Softy Mahler, one of our friends.
Friend of the something.
Friend of the something, yes. I like Softy. That's his nickname.
Uh-huh.
I know you don't. So one of the
I think we just lost Jay.
Reporters.
He's on the floor.
One of the reporters up there after, and again, this is Seattle, after the Thunder lost. And, of course, everyone in Seattle was rooting for the Warriors because the Thunder were the Sonics. And I get that. I understand that. He tweeted out a picture and said, "This is Oklahoma City right now." The picture was of a car on fire after crashing. The car in the picture in question was a former Thunder owner, Aubrey McClendon, who was instrumental in getting the Sonics out of Seattle, is hated along with Clay Bennett and Howard Schultz, unlike any others, and David Stern in Seattle. He took it down a couple hours later, but of course it's the internet. Everybody screenshotted it. So it's one of those lessons. Think before you tweet. Just think before you tweet. It may be funny to you, and it may be funny to a lot of other people, but it may not be too. Just think.
Not after your team has just lost anyway, because you mentioned that he was an integral part of stealing the Thunder out of,
stealing the Sonics out of Seattle.
And that was like the most above board, non-shady thing that Aubrey McClendon ever did. So.
Yeah, he was indicted on all kinds of stuff. It was, I believe it was deemed a suicide when he crashed his car. I mean, the whole deal and all that. And I remember going through the whole thing with Seattle, and anytime Seattle was, and there were some awful things said on both sides, anytime suicide was brought up, because Seattle has had many high-profile suicides in that city from people like Kurt Cobain and others who've, anytime that happens, you know, Seattle people freak out, and rightfully so. Like, hey, what's, you know, that's below the belt big time there. You turn and you do that. Again, think before you tweet. Katie, you asked before we went to break, Durant, Westbrook,
will they ever win anything?
Here's my question. And then this is where I think we can really kick this debate off. Durant, Westbrook, everyone's getting second guess, and they certainly should be. You're up 3-1. Is it just possible, though, that Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook are John Stockton, Karl Malone? Is it just possible that the Thunder are the Jazz and the Warriors are the Bulls? It's not that the Thunder are bad.
Or the Spurs, or the Heat, or any of the teams
just ran into a better team, and the Warriors are just better, and the Thunder are really good. And they ran it. We go back and we look at those Jazz teams, or hell, the Seattle team with Payton and Kemp that ran into the Bulls in the finals. The Suns team with Barkley.
So did anyone ever say, man, maybe we ought to break up Stockton and Malone?
Maybe this isn't working. And I wonder if hindsight were the day after. But if we look
and
back,
how much of that is just like the constant news cycle, that constant freak out reactionary. Exactly.
But I don't know. You look at Stockton and Malone, and they were, I don't think they ever, there was never a hit on them that they don't play team ball. They played extremely well together. They were, you know, they played for Jerry Sloan,
without a doubt. You pretty much felt like with those two guys.
Yeah. You know, I mean, were phenomenal. They were phenomenal together, and they were phenomenal team players. But you never felt like when a game was on the line or a series was on the line that you had to worry about one of them just saying, you know what? I'm just going to come down every time and play one-on-one and try and do this myself.
No, you just gave the ball to Thurl Bailey and you sat back and see what's going to happen.
Car, baby.
You could consider back then that you could what put it in my head, Katie, is when you said Westbrook and Durant, if they're not in the top five, they're certainly in the top 10. Yeah. And that clicked something in my head, and I was like, well, wait a minute. You could have said the same thing about Stockton and Malone. No. If they weren't in the top five at the time, they were certainly in the top 10. You could make an argument that John Stockton, if he's not the greatest point guard of all time, he's in the conversation. And you could certainly make an argument, well, not really anymore because of Tim Duncan, but at one point, I think before Duncan, if you're ranking all-time power forwards, I put Malone number two, right behind Tim Duncan. So you have two of the top three or four at their position playing pretty much their entire careers together. I think Stockton came in after Malone or vice versa 1 year, but their whole career, same city, same team until Malone ended up leaving very late in his career. They could never get over the hump. Are we seeing that sort of modern day when you have a juggernaut like the Warriors? It's very possible, is it not, guys, that the Oklahoma City Thunder are the second-best team in the NBA?
Second or third.
Talking about it, but we could – if these finals come up and the Warriors win in 4 or 5, I think the Thunder are going to look like a lot better team than they do right now.
Well, they might. I mean, they're just – right, second or third-best team, whatever. There'd be no way to see that. But what I wonder is why, I don't know. Do these guys get a little bit of a pass? I mean, it seems like we talk about the, hey, can they play well together?
Sure.
But they don't get killed like Charles Barkley did, where, hey, best to never win a ring.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it just kind of goes year in because they do keep getting beat by teams that I think a lot of people view as better. My question would be, why do we view those teams as better when you do have two of the top five players in the NBA? You've had James Harden. You've had good coaches. You know, you have Steven Adams played out of his mind. No one's ever said that the Thunder were just Durant and Westbrook, right? So
okay,
why aren't our expectations of them higher?
Okay, and let's explore that when we get back, because you have Durant and Westbrook, and then who's number three, and then who's number four on that team, and then let's put the Warriors right next to them too, because I think that's where you look at Golden State and step back and go, wow, it's not one head of the snake, it's a freaking hydra. You have several heads that you got to cut off. We'll take a break, we'll come back, we'll continue the analysis of Game 7, Oklahoma City, and the Western Conference champion, Golden State Warriors. It's a Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.